Welcome back to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Dr. James Dwyer, Associate Professor of in the Center of Bioethics and Humanities at Upstate Medical University, has just returned from Taiwan, where he was a Fulbright Scholar, and he was studying the health system and the ethical issues in that country. And he's here with me today. Welcome, Dr. Dwyer. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Yes, and as I recall, we had you with us about a year ago, and we were talking about this upcoming trip. So I'm really excited to hear all the details and what you found. But let's start out by helping our audience understand, what exactly is a Fulbright Scholar?
Well, the Fulbright program was started after the Second World War, and it was a way of sending American scholars and teachers abroad to 150 different countries, and also for having some foreign scholars and teachers come to America. So actually for Taiwan, the U.S. government paid 40% of my program, and the Taiwanese government paid for 60%.
Wow, so it truly was an exchange program, so to speak. And how did you get this award, so to speak?
Well, you have to apply like a year ahead of time, and you have to set out a program, what you'll be doing, and justify it. And then they look at the needs in their country. And they were very interested in ethical issues, the healthcare system, getting a foreigner to come and add a perspective.
Sounds great. Well, so let's get right to what you did. Tell us, what exactly were you doing?
Well, most of my work was teaching. So I was at National Taiwan University, which is in the capital. It's a big university. I was at the medical school, like I teach here. I was teaching medical students. Some were electives, required courses. And then I was working with departments. The Department of Pediatrics was very interested. So I did a program we can talk about with their medical students, residents, staff, social workers, everyone in the pediatrics department. And then I also worked, they were starting an ethics consultation service.
Now, Much like you do here.
Yeah. So we have one at University Hospital where anyone, the staff, the family, the patients, can call when they think there's an ethical question or issue. Now, the service doesn't make a judgment on the case, but it helps clarify, makes a recommendation. So Taiwan is beginning to start this service, and they wanted my experience and help, and I was happy to participate.
That's wonderfully interesting. I want to hear specifically the kinds of issues that arose, but tell us, let's go back to the pediatric program. Tell us what the kinds of things that you actually did for them.
Well, they meet every morning at 8 o'clock, and they have what they call a case conference. And it's really everyone in the department, and they present a case that was recent or ongoing, and they discuss the medical aspects of it, usually, and the care and the family. So I suggested that we do the same format, but we look at the ethical issues. And they were very eager to do that. There was support from the chair of the department and other people. So we tried it out, and it worked very well. And in fact, when I left, they sort of continued it on their own. I wasn't needed anymore.
Well, in fact, you set the stage and you got it going. So give us some examples of the kinds of issues that arose and the kinds of things that they were grappling with.
Yeah. I found that many of the issues were similar to the issues we face, but they approach it a bit differently because of their culture, their outlook, and so on. So, for example, they would have a newborn, a child born with terrible genetic disease. And they would have to try to figure out what the child's prospects were and what the treatments were. But they would also have to decide how aggressive they were going to treat the case, working with the family. Now, the same thing happens here with very premature newborns, with newborns who have genetic diseases. And so sorting all that out is always a problem. It's not easy, but we do it. We do it on a regular basis. So they wanted some perspective and help on that.
So give me an example, if you can, on obviously the idea of resource allocation and all of that is crucial from an economic standpoint, but from an ethical or from an emotional or psychological standpoint, what factors played a role in the decision-making there?
Yeah. Well, I think the first factor was the prospect for the child. That is,
in other words, their prognosis, how much lifetime of life they'll have, how long they would live.
Yeah. I mean, if treatment was successful, would the child live? And then what kind of life would it have? Would it have disabilities, diseases? Would there be cognitive impairment, and how much? So those things are considered here too. But I think what was a little different is in Taiwan, they often looked at the effect of treating the child or not treating the child on the rest of the family, on the siblings, on the parents, on the grandparents who are being involved in the child care too. And we do that here, but more implicitly. I mean, we have a slogan here called, well, we're going to decide in the best interest of the child.
So in other words, it's the patient first.
Yes. But I think we do factor in an implicit way all the effects on other people.
Of course.
But in Taiwan, I think they were quite upfront about that. You know, the family would say, well, we don't know how this is going to affect our other children.
And so there really is that very strong emphasis on the family.
Yeah.
As opposed to just the individual. And I think when before you left, we chatted a year ago about this whole issue of East versus West and how in the West, there's so much emphasis on kind of that rugged individual, the individual stands kind of primary. And in the East, there's such a concept really of group and family and belonging to this group and working as a team.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that contrast, but I think it's a little overdrawn because here in the United States at Upstate, I see all the time that families come in, they're part of the discussion, they're part of the decision-making about whether the patient's going to be a do not resuscitate order or not. So there is a lot of back and forth with the family. But in Taiwan, it's almost as if the family, when the patient can't make the decision as a child, as if the family is the decision-making unit in some way.
Very interesting.
So that's a bit different.
So when it came to teaching medical students themselves, what arose, apart from this issue in the pediatric department, what kinds of issues arose for you in working with them? What were the kinds of lessons either that you taught them or they taught you?
Well, I was interested to see what kind of ethical issues come up for them as students already. And they're very bright students. They're a little younger than our students because the students there start medical school right out of high school. And after several years, they might have clinical experience, where our students go to college and some of them work and then they go to medical school. But a common issue is what I would call the ethics of speaking up. That is, the medical student sees something which they don't quite agree with or they're unsure of, and there's a question of whether they should speak up and say something about it. And, of course, they're a bit timid because there's a hierarchy and they want to be deferential to their teachers and the older people and so on.
And that, excuse me for interrupting, but that, again, strikes me as very cultural.
Yes and no. Yes, in that in Taiwan, as you mentioned, the Asian cultures, they really stress respect for your elders, respect for your teachers. I mean, teachers are treated with a lot of reverence.
Wish it were true here.
Well, I don't know. True. I find a lot of respect, actually, for teachers. So there is that difference, but the issue comes up here, too, that our students are sometimes timid or hesitate to speak up, even when they think they could contribute something to clinical care.
So how did you influence that and in what ways?
Well, I brought it to the fore, so it became an issue, and students had to talk about it. And they talked about their successes and failures, successes when they did speak up, and it was welcomed, and it helped improve patient care in some way, and also the cases where they didn't say anything, and they felt later regret that they should have spoken up and at least tried.
Now, you mentioned that they were younger. What affected the fact, in what way did their age affect anything that you observed?
I think they're a little more hesitant and a little less confident, and they haven't interacted with wide groups of people as much. Whereas our students, if they've done volunteer work and they've also worked some have been teachers for a couple years. One student I know here was in Teach for America for 2 years. You bring that experience, whatever it was, to your learning medicine and interacting with patients. And the Taiwanese student didn't quite have as much outside experience.
How about the older students? Did you see an evolution?
Yeah. I mean, I see that here, too. I think the more clinical experience the students get, the more confident they feel, and the more they become advocates of the patient.
Now, I understand they have a universal healthcare system there, and not only did you have a chance to study it, but you were also a patient yourself. What was that like?
You're right. I was a participant observer because I just observed it, but I was also a patient during the whole course of the year. It's a quite remarkable system, so I was surprised when people complain a bit. It's remarkable in that everyone is covered. It's sort of like Medicaid for everyone, not just the people over 65, so a government
Medicare,
program.
Yeah.
Medicare,
yep.
Yeah. And the cost is reasonable. They pay about, overall, 7% of their gross domestic product, where European countries are paying 9, 10, 11%. Canada's probably 12 or 13. The United States is up to 15% of the gross domestic product. So Taiwan is covering everyone at about half the cost. So that was remarkable.
I wonder if you could see why. I mean, if you, in your own little kind of microcosm, if you could have some insight as to why that would be, that they would be so cost effective.
Yeah. One reason is it's just simpler. There's less administrative complications and bureaucratic
less infrastructure.
Sort of things. Yeah. So, for example, I mean, when I came back, I recently went to my dentist. It's a very good dentist. But then there was the bill, and they checked on the computer, and they billed the insurance company, which reimbursed me, but not the whole part. So I had to send money to the dentist and all. And so there's two or three people involved in this, where in Taiwan, it's all very simple. I mean, there's the bill, the deductible, and then you have a smart card. The smart card is like a credit card. That's your health record. And I went to one doctor, had a test, and had to go to a second doctor to have a reading. And I just took my smart card, and they plugged it in their computer, and they had all the tests right there.
Wow.
Whereas here, we spend a lot of time getting results from different doctors' offices, transferring it here and
so
there.
So part of it has to do with their electronic system, and their it sounds like their infrastructure is much more efficient.
Yeah, it's simpler and more efficient, and there's less administrative costs. It's not just the electronic records.
Did you think your care was superior, equal to, or inferior to what you've had here?
I think it was equal to. I think it was a little quicker. It wasn't as chatty and friendly. It's very businesslike. But I think the level of care was excellent. I mean, the people involved are very smart and very dedicated.
So in just the little bit of time we have left, give me an overall issue. What did you see as either the most pressing public health issues, or has Westernization played a role in Taiwan? I mean, what did you find?
Well, clinically, I think they're struggling with end-of-life issues. I think they have a very advanced healthcare system, and people are coming in, but sometimes they're dying. And families and doctors are struggling, like they do here, with when to say this is enough and when to switch to more palliative or comfort care. In public health, it's too early to tell, but they're going to face many of the issues we face, like they have a growing rate of obesity. And part of that's influence of the Western diet and people walking, bicycling less.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it was an incredible experience, and you've brought back a lot of information, and I'm sure it'll affect your teaching here. So I want to thank you for coming and sharing some of that with us. My guest has been Dr. James Dwyer. He's associate professor in the Center for Bioethics and Humanities at Upstate Medical University and a Fulbright Scholar. We'll be right back with more HealthLink on Air right after this short break. Please stay with us.